And it's Colbert, right? Vicki Colbert?
It's like Stephen Colbert or Colbert. Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Colbert, that's what my guess was. You were talking a little bit about conversations you're having with students on campus.
Yes,
Tell us about what are the students asking you about Vicki Colbert, Edon Prize winner?
Well, they've asked me how we started and why did we start working in these rural isolated schools where we started in Colombia years back. And also how we managed to influence national policy and then also take it abroad. So, I mean, all these questions are not easy. They take time. But I guess there was a lot of interest, and I think, the essential thing is that even though we started so many years ago, the needs are the mother of innovation. So when you have so many problems and so many difficulties with these schools, invisible schools, rural schools that were in Colombia and in the rest of the Latin American world, sort of isolated, invisible schools that don't even appear in the statistics, they exist, that's where we started. We're not only there, but we started there. That's where the need was in these rural multi-grade schools. So when you have so many problems in a way, that's good because you're forced to think systemically.
Right. You have to
from the outset. It's not how to get a little pet project on the ground. It's how to impact national policy. So from the outset that we were thinking of how to reach like 35,000 schools. So the essence is that since it was like a failed business, nothing was working. We had to rethink everything. And what we started so many years ago now is like what a school should be for the future. Yeah. So it's not everybody learns the same thing at the same time, different learning rhythms. So you have a little bit of personalized education. We started empowering students. So it's nothing new in the philosophy of education, but it's really child-centered participatory learning. We had to tackle the role of the teacher, the real new role of the teacher for the 21st century, not as a transmitter of content, and cooperative learning, because we didn't want also just to have self-paced learning, and we didn't want only students to finish at their own pace, but we wanted that learning takes place through dialogue and interaction. So it's the essence of cooperative learning, where you have results in tolerance and accepting others' opinions and reaching agreements.
When you talk about the we, I think for people who are less familiar with your work, you talked a little bit about it right now, but just a little bit of a history lesson of where you have been and where you are, and then now what the Yidan Prize will do to enable new research with the winning.
We started through the government. I started through the government, which was the most difficult part, because it's how to beat the system, being inside. But I think we, and I talk about a team of rural teachers that I myself organized, because they are the ones that know exactly what's on the ground. So we wanted to bring all this innovation into Colombia, into these rural schools, and to universalize primary education like the rest of Latin America at that moment. But we just turned the whole system apart in the sense that we had to rethink everything. So it's a bit of the quality learning we want to talk about for the future of schools. But when we wanted to impact national policy, not just have a little pet project, we had to think of three things to impact national policy. One was that we wanted to have demonstration schools. Teachers need images to change attitudes. That we can start a demand-driven approach also, not only top-down, because that doesn't work very much sometimes. But also we had like three things in mind. One was the demonstration schools to show the way for other teachers. The second was empirical evidence. I myself had a sociological background, so I value the importance of having evidence and take decisions based on evidence and empirical evidence. And the third thing was feasibility, that we needed that anything we did was feasible technically speaking, that we didn't require to have a PhD in the middle of nowhere, Colombia, so it was technically speaking, politically feasible. We have strong unions, so we have to work with teachers and have them as their agents of change. So it was technical feasibility, political feasibility, and cost effectiveness. We had to think of something that was really scalable and replicable. So I think we managed to transform all this complexity of education systems into transform complexity into simple, manageable action so that any teacher could do it. And I think the essence of Escuela Nueva is the possibility of being easily replicated and scalable.
Yeah, and it is. And the success it's shown since when you guys started this, it wasn't in the 70s, unbelievable.
We started designing in the mid-70s. It became a national policy at the end of the 80s. Mm-hmm. I mean, nothing is given. No. You have to work through it.
Things happen slowly, government and education.
And education results don't coincide with political momentums.
No.
So I started within the ministry, then I became vice minister of education. So we took it to scale, like to 20,000 schools, and once there was this UNESCO study in Latin America demonstrating that Colombia and Cuba were the only two countries where rural schools outperformed urban schools. You know, so then we got a lot of countries coming in. We started sending Colombian teachers abroad. But one of the most interesting things of not only of the findings that we've had in academic achievement was in the impact on peaceful behavior of children in Colombia, and that's extremely important. And so we've gotten a lot of countries that have started Escuela Nueva. The most recent impact evaluation of one of the countries where we took the Colombian model was Vietnam. Okay, so the Vietnamese are implementing it very well. There's just a recent study from the World Bank demonstrating how well they're doing with the Colombian model.
It's nice to be an international model heralded across the globe, and it's nice that the EDON Prize recognized your good work. What are you hoping to put the winnings of that prize towards in terms of continuing this great work
that you're
doing?
Yes, definitely. When we want to reach other areas of Colombia where we have not reached, where we have not implemented the whole model, and also to do more research. And of course, the Chinese are so important in taking the Colombian model to China. So we'll end up doing that probably.
And a little bit about the leaders who are listening to this podcast, the parents, the teachers, the educators across the globe, but in schools as well. What are some tips that you've learned along the way? Some advice that you could pick up as someone who's pushed through this over the decades with all the challenges, governmental, financial? What are the sort of...
Yeah, because remember that I had to create an NGO to sustain what we started in government.
Yeah.
Okay? So there are several takeaways. I think the first one is, yes, we can improve the quality of education in developing countries. Yes, we can have results. But more of the same is not enough. We need a paradigm shift from really teacher-centered education into child-centered. But for that, we need strategies and concrete instruments. We're actually going from a culture. It's a cultural change, going from transmission of knowledge to social construction of knowledge. A third thing is from the outset, we had to think systemically. There are so many problems that you're forced to think about the whole system. Not only how to have a child that is more active as a citizen, that learns more, but how are we going to train the teachers to assume this new role of the teacher? Changing attitudes and behaviors is not easy. How are we going to work with the parents and bring the, especially parents of remote areas and that live in poverty, so you cannot have so many PTAs during the day? So we just had to think of something that was very easily replicated. We have to go beyond cognitive achievement. So we started talking about social emotional skills since so many years ago. We've been measuring
ahead of the time and having those conversations.
I mean, so you're forced to innovate when you have a lot of needs. And also, I think that last but not least, you have to work with governments because that's their responsibility. That's what they're there for, health and education. But you need public-private partnerships and the role of civil society for two keywords, quality and sustainability. Mm-hmm. Innovations are very vulnerable to political and administrative changes. So you have to play all the fields.
Jeez. It sounds tricky and it sounds hard, but you've managed to succeed in such great way. So congratulations on all of your work and especially on winning the EDON Prize.
Thank you so much.
Where can people learn more about your work if they want to learn more about you, Escuela Nueva?
We have our website, www.escuelanueva, which is a little bit tricky, .org.
Okay, thank you so much. This has been the Harvard EdCast, a production of the Harvard Graduate School of Education. I'm your host, Matt Weber. Thank you kindly for listening.